the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, welcome in and welcome to Max Bell. Welcome to Max Bell Center as Steinberg and Wes on location this hour of Flames Talk. It is a Thursday, May 8th, and we are underway here at Max Bell. Underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. A rare on-location show for Pat and Wes. How we doing, buddy?
We're good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. We're here at Max Bell, home of the 2025 Centennial Cup, which continues here in Calgary, hosted by the AJHL champion Calgary Canucks. So very cool to be here for the Centennial Cup. It's been a long time since Canada's National Junior A Championship was held here in the city. So that's very cool. That's what we're doing here on this hour of Flames Talk. And Wes, we've been going through Craig Conroy's checklist a lot this week. We've been going through kind of the different things that the general manager has on his plate this summer. We've gone through the restricted free agents, did that pretty in-depth a couple of days ago. On Wednesday's show, we did basically a full hour on the unrestricted free agents and, you know, whether it's Justin Kirkland or Dan Vladar or Joel Hanley, you know, what the best road of action is for the Flames there. And yet, there's one contract that doesn't even need to be figured out this summer. Like, there's no urgency to figure it out this summer, and yet it might be the most fascinating one of all, and that is what a contract extension for Dustin Wolf might end up looking like. That's what we're talking about to kick off the hour. The text line open at 960-960, and it's more about the timing and the urgency of a Dustin Wolf contract extension and whether or not it needs to get done this summer or how important it is to get done this summer. But just to recap on our conversation Wednesday, lots of response online, lots of response on the text line, and specifically when we put one of those question cards out there about should the Flames be re-signing Justin Kirkland, a lot of response to that one. And a lot of people were very much in kind of the same camp we were, that make a lot of sense for the Flames to go down that road.
Yeah, I've noticed that the feedback on that one has been fairly unanimous, and I would think it will be on this topic as well. I mean, here's what we know. We know that the Flames are planning on Dustin Wolf being their starting netminder for a long, long time. We know that Dustin Wolf is under contract for one more season, which means that he is eligible for an extension as soon as July 1. And we know that the Flames are going to certainly be interested in going down that road ASAP.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, 100%. Did I say Wolf or Kirkland on that? I was recapping the UFAs. Did you go to Wolf?
Yeah, well, we started on Wolf, and I...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just... My brain's... There's a lot of people
and then
around.
You mentioned Kirkland, and
okay.
So...
Okay.
You know, I don't know how much more there is to add on our conversation
okay.
about Justin Kirkland from yesterday. Yeah, there's interest out there in re-signing him. Obviously, I think the question was, do you think the Flames should bring back Justin Kirkland? It's pretty well unanimous,
yeah.
Right? One or two people might have gone the other direction. I would expect the interest level in this one to be similar, and I also expect it to be heavily weighted in favor of, yes, something they should do.
Okay. See, this is, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't losing my marbles more than I usually am. Because here's, I guess the question that I ask on the Dustin Wolf front. The text line's open at 960-960. Would love to hear from you on this hour of Flames Talk. My question is how important it is or how urgent it is to get something done this summer. And should this be something the Flames should be attacking as early as July 1st when he's eligible to sign a contract extension. He'll be entering year two of a two-year deal that he signed going in to this past season. Should they start hammering away at something as soon as they can? My answer is yes. I feel like getting something done long-term as soon as you possibly can is the way to go, because, Wes, I think it's only going to get more expensive the longer you wait on a guy like Dustin Wolf. But this is what the general manager had to say over the weekend. This is Craig Conroy when I asked him, hey, are you open? You've gone long-term with Matt Coronato. Are you open to going long-term with Dustin Wolf as early as this summer?
We're open to everything. You know, that's the one thing. Obviously, with Dustin, he's got a year left, so you couldn't do anything till July 1st. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're not going to take anything off the table. You know, that's why I said, even going into this, you know, you're trying to see what the player's appetite for is long term, what fits for us, and we're going to do that with each and every guy. So yeah, we're going to be open, and you know, as we move along in the summer here, we'll hopefully have all those conversations.
Look, a couple weeks ago, that was Craig Conroy when he joined us on a special edition of Flames Talk over the weekend. But a couple weeks ago, you and I went into, hey, what would a new contract for Dustin Wolf look like? And Kevin Woodley had some thoughts on that. But how important is it to do it kind of in an ASAP range? Like, is this something that for you, you're trying to, if you're in Craig Conroy's shoes, are you trying to tackle this immediately or as soon as you possibly can? Or are you waiting a little bit to go down that road with Wolf?
Well, I think you'd like to tackle it as soon as you can. And yet, you know, the one word that you used was urgency. And I don't necessarily see it as an urgent scenario. Yes, if Dustin Wolf is ready to talk about an 8-year extension, I think the Calgary Flames would love to have that conversation. I think this is one of those scenarios where, you know, you always say, wow, make him prove it again. Let's see it again, you know, before we sign him to an extension. And, you know, the best case scenario and all the scenarios that the Flames are planning for involve Dustin Wolf being a very good goalie next season and moving forward. Like, there's no celebrating if Dustin Wolf takes any sort of step back in his development as an NHL sophomore. And I don't think anyone's expecting that. The Flames will be ready to show the faith in Dustin Wolf to go long term. There's absolutely zero question about that. My question is probably more on the other side of the equation. Yeah. Does it make sense for Dustin Wolf, who has one of the more experienced agents in the NHL, to do that deal right now? You know, we're less than a year removed from the Flames using the leverage that they had at the time to get Dustin Wolf to accept a two-way contract. And I'm not saying that there's any lingering animosity or anything from there, but, you know, all's fair in contract negotiations. And, you know, Dustin Wolf is going to be looking, if he's going to do an 8-year deal, he's going to be looking for a big payday. There's going to be some pressure to continue to push forward the goaltending market. There's going to be a lot of factors at play there. And so, yeah, of course, Craig Conroy, if Craig Conroy was keen to get a Yegor Sharangovich extension done on July 1 a year ago, as we know he was, It would only make sense that what I think is the biggest piece of the future of the Calgary Flames in goaltender Dustin Wolf would be treated as equally or even more so of a priority.
Yeah, I'd be really interested to know what the Wolf camp is thinking, because I don't know if they'd be into doing an 8. And I would imagine that the number that you'd have to put in front of them to do an 8-year deal would have to be pretty high. Like we're probably talking about like pushing $70 million if you're going to get him to do an 8-year deal.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's where the Flames would be looking. I don't know if that is the type of deal that ends up making the most sense for both sides. I think that you could make a very easy argument on the Wolf side that doing a 2-year bridge would be really smart for them, or at the very least could work into their favor, because you'd get this coming season on the current contract, two more years for him to build up a significant resume. And now Shohei, it wasn't just 1 year. Like, this is me. I'm one of the best goalies in the NHL. Pay me like it. Or you could try to lock up the next 5 or 6 years of Wolf, not go the full 8 years, have him have his contract expire at 30 or 31 years old and be set on both sides. Either on the Flames side, you're getting 6 years, six more years, five more years of Dustin Wolf, and then you've got an opportunity to sign him again. Or if you're Wolf and it goes, if you're like, I'd like to test it in free agency, well, you're a 30, 31-year-old goaltender, and you know, the Wolf camp hopes that he will have proven that he's one of the best goaltenders in the NHL by that stage. So, you know, now you've got lots of people interested in you in that regard. I just, economically, I wonder if a 5 or 6 year deal doesn't make the most sense on both sides. I just feel like whatever you're going to do, if you're going to go long term, I don't know, it feels like doing it this summer makes a whole lot more sense, especially from the team standpoint, so that you can put any of those questions to bed. And also be in a scenario where, you know, you've got that certainty going forward, and you know, you don't have to worry about what happens if he has another really good season. He's that important a player.
Yeah.
I think you should put a little urgency behind it, even though you don't need to put urgency behind it.
Well, I think the sort of devil's advocate stance on that, though, buddy, is that the ship has sailed on this being any sort of bargain. Right? Like, if you're looking to do a deal with Dustin Wolf this summer, you're paying him. Like, you're paying him the going rate. You're paying him based on a market that was set on an 8-year, $66 million deal for Jeremy Swayman. Like, the groundwork of this negotiation is almost done because of Jeremy Swayman's deal. I really believe that. I know they're not an exact comparable, but the age when he signed was very similar. You know, there's certainly some similarities in the stat. You're coming off a season where Dustin Wolf is a Calder Trophy candidate. You're not getting a bargain. And so if the idea is, well, hey, geez, if we lock him up now, maybe we can save some money long term. I think it's too late for that. And yet, I would argue, because of Dustin Wolf's importance to the future, like, if he's ready to do a long-term deal, by all means, I think both sides can find some middle ground there. I would just caution, this one's not like the Rasmus Anderson situation, where if there's no contract in place a couple weeks into the extension period, people should start to worry or wonder when a trade's coming.
Right, right, right.
Like, there's none of those pressure points. Dustin Wolf will be a RFA when his contract expires. You'll have months to figure it out. Like, if this isn't done, it's fine. Chill. It's all good. Yeah. Are there a bunch of reasons that the Flames should prioritize getting it done? Sure. Are there 66 or 68 or $70 million worth of reasons for Dustin Wolf to be willing to talk long-term? Absolutely. And I don't really worry about how this contract ages. I believe that highly in Dustin Wolf.
As do I.
I don't sense the urgency, because I think it's too late to get in on the bargain. And so if it doesn't get done right away, I just think it's no biggie.
Yeah, I think it can be more expensive the longer you wait. Maybe you're not going to get bargain basement contract, but I think if you wait until his contract expires, or you wait until midway through a year where he just continues to build on what he did last year, I think it only strengthens the Wolf camp in terms of the type of deal that they can get. Swayman was basically 26 when he signed his deal in October. Remember, he signed it just as the season was starting?
Right.
Before the start of the regular season.
Dustin will be 25.5 when he plays his first game on the next deal. And so that's where I see some similarity. Like, the age at sort of kick in, let's call it, is
about the same.
A matter of months.
Yes. As Swayman's an October guy and Wolf's an April guy. So, yeah, it would be about a six-month difference when it's all said and done. I just keep going back to the Jordan Binnington contract and the Thatcher Demko contract as deals that were signed 4 years ago, a little bit more than, I guess, around 4 years ago they were both signed, a little bit more than that. So the cap has progressed significantly, but Binnington, with the Stanley Cup under his belt, signed a 6x6 in 2021, and Demko signed a 5x5 in 2021 as well. Now, the economics have gone up, but I look at both of those contracts, and I say to myself, if you're not wanting to go the big swing 8-year deal like Swayman, and maybe you should be what, like, maybe you just offer 8x8.25, which is exactly what Swayman got.
Yeah.
Maybe you offer that deal if you're the Flames. But if they're looking to go a little bit shorter, then maybe you do settle on a 6-year term or something like that and put 6x8 on the table or something in that regard.
Sure.
I do think it's going to have to take that type of deal to convince the Wolf camp to go long term. Similar to what they just did with Coronado. You got to put a high enough sum of money on the table to get them to forego going down the bridge road.
I wonder if they want to wait, and I was just looking at who else is coming up on RFA or UFA. Like, I wonder if Jake Oettinger is the next contract that sort of sets the goalie market, and I wonder if the Dustin Wolf camp, Oettinger, by the way, becomes eligible to sign his next deal on July 1 as well. So he has one more year, currently making $4 million a year. And so I wonder if the Wolf camp looks and says, hey, let's just, again, because there is no urgency here, especially on that side of the coin. I wonder if they just say, oh, let's just wait and see what Jake Oettinger gets. And I'm not comparing, I know there's probably some people screaming in the background here, well, he hasn't done what Oettinger's done, and I get that, but, you know, you're talking about a guy who is quickly on track to join the ranks of the NHL's goaltending elite, and in that case, any contract signed by one of the NHL's elite goaltenders has some pertinence.
Yep. Yeah, I just get it done as soon as I possibly could.
Oh, and so would I. I just think people need to be prepared for the fact it could be a case that this drags on a little bit.
Which, and I think that would be perfectly understandable, and I think that you would be understanding, but don't let it turn into what Swayman did. That's kind of like Swayman missed all the training camp, all of the preseason, signed on October 6th, and next thing you know, he has himself a rough, really rough first half of the season. And, you know, Swayman struggles with Linus Ullmark getting traded, a big reason why Boston was such an also-ran this year.
The difference, though, being that Swayman's contract was up.
Yes, and that's why I'm saying,
like,
don't go all the way till October of 2026.
Yeah.
Is my main point.
Yeah.
So the earlier you can get this done, the better. And I really do believe, like, if you were to put, say that the Wolf camp was willing to go 8x8 right now, I feel like if you waited until next summer, they'd be like, yeah, give us 8x9.
Yeah.
I still feel like you can get out in front of it if you do it after just the one full season. Because Oettinger's going to get his deal after multiple high-end NHL seasons. Swayman had a couple of years under his belt before he signed.
So
Hellebuck obviously signed his big deal with, you know, a large resume.
So
right now, you've still got a guy with just 1 year under his belt.
So is he taking 8x8 just because he's so grateful that you put it on the table? Or what? Understanding exactly what you're saying about how his earning potential could change in the next 12 months. What's Dustin Wolf's motivation?
$64 million.
Yeah, and that's fair. Like
I feel like, and I think we make this. That's enough of a gesture to be like, yeah, you know what, I'll sign that. Like,
yeah,
you know what, I might be leaving some money on the table, but I can probably make that up on my next contract.
Well, and I guess where I'm coming from is if Dustin thinks, hey, you know, with the speculation about the cap going up and with the value that I know I have to this team, I just want to see where this goes for a few months. Like, we're talking about 12 full months of runway where this really won't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, I just think I don't want the takeaway from this conversation, and this is great, the great back and forth. I don't want the takeaway for anyone to be, geez, if Dustin Wolf doesn't sign by July 30th, it means he's trying to take us to the woodshed. Like, that's not what's happening.
No, that's what you're saying, I think. That's how I've interpreted it.
Perfect. Then I've made my point.
But do you think at any point St. Louis, now Binnington was older when he signed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think at any point Doug Armstrong has regretted that signing?
No, but I just think the Binnington thing you can take and put in that trash bin over there, because the Swayman contract from last fall is so relevant that there's no need to. You're not going to trick the Wolf camp into saying, well, this is the...
I'm not saying that you compare Binnington's contract to what you'd give Wolf. Like, Binnington's 6x6. You're going to have to give significantly more. But what I'm saying is that type of contract, I just don't think there's... And I know that we're on the same page. Like, I'm not even arguing with you. I just feel like for those who are like, no, you can't with goaltending. You can't go long-term with these guys. Jordan Binnington was... I don't know, comparatively unproven to Wolf.
Right.
He had a Stanley Cup and a full season under his belt with, you know, weird COVID schedules when he signed his deal. And they were like, you know what, we believe in this guy, we're going to go 6 years. And I don't think at any point the Blues have regretted it. So
no.
To our point, yeah, the economics have changed, so the dollar figure per year is going to be higher. And I think you're bang on. The Swayman contract is the most relevant one here. I honestly don't think the Bruins are ever going to regret signing that deal as poorly as year one went. And I just, if Craig Conroy signs 8x8.25 tomorrow, mm-hmm. which he couldn't do, but on July 2nd, if that's the contract that gets signed, I don't think at any point the Flames are going to regret that down the road.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, switching from one Jordan to another, Jordan Binnington to Jordan Sigalette, Jordan Sigalette, the Flames director of goaltending, is terrific at going and sort of unearthing goaltending talent. And yet there's a gap now with Dustin Wolf having basically made the ascent from goalie of the future to just goalie now. There's a gap in where that next guy might be. Like, Dustin Wolf's camp has a little bit of leverage in the sense that, hey, you don't have... There's not a kid knocking on the door here, and that's fine. There's a lot of organizations who don't know who their next goalie is going to be, but, you know, it's not like, geez, we might want to wait a year and find out if, you know, Kirill Zarubin is ready to be our starter. We know that's not in the conversation, and so I just think the Flames have been trying to find a homegrown. They've been trying to develop a star goalie since you and I were just out of diapers, right? Like, they've been working on this for a long, long time. And so now...
out of diapers, speak for yourself.
So now just...
Just one of us is.
Just sign the guy for as long as he's willing to stay.
Yeah.
And it's just going to cost you money. And
which...
It's easy for us to spend it. Yeah.
It's not our money, but I think that the Flames and right from the very top would be happy to, if the player wants to do it and the player is okay doing it, then I think that we can be talking about a team that is willing to do it as well. Let's read some text. Lots of text response at 960-960. This says, the Wolf camp, this is something I've never understood. If a player wants to stay, he will. If he doesn't, he won't, right? What does camp mean? Well, fortunately, in 2025, a player agent wields a lot of power, and I've spoken to enough players that have been in situations where they just leave it in their agent's hands and say, hey, you do it. Here's kind of what I would like, and then the rest is up to you. So, like, a player's agent wields a whole lot more in terms of impact on what's going to happen than perhaps, yes, does the player have a say? Of course they do. And when you're talking about big-time decisions, an agent's always going to do what the player wants. But some players are pretty passive and say, I'm good with whatever you do, what what you think is best for my career, and they leave it at that. Pat Brisson is Dustin Wolf's agent. He's one of the most high-powered agents in the game. He's not an easy guy. Like, he's a fine guy to negotiate with, but he's a tough guy in that he works hard for his clients, and
right.
That's why he's one of the best in the business, right?
Well, and Dustin Wolf oozes confidence. It's part of what makes him a great goaltender, but, you know, Dustin's not calling his agent and saying, we got to strike while the iron's hot here. What if this is the only good season I have in my career? Like, that's not Dustin Wolf.
You don't get the sense that's what he's telling him?
And so I think he's happy to follow, not even just follow the advice, but he'll certainly be open to Pat Brisson's input on what the best way to tackle this is. I mean, Pat, if you want to Google him, has a few fairly high-profile clients. He's negotiated some fairly significant deals in the past, and no, I don't think Dustin will take $3.2 million as an ode to his jersey number.
You're telling me that Nathan McKinnon and Elias Pettersson and John Tavares and Sidney Crosby, these guys are what you would consider not slouches in this conversation?
Like, when you have to scroll down that far to get to Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing okay.
Yeah, he's done all right for himself. This reads, hilarious, you guys referenced Swayman, Ottinger, and Hellebuck for comparisons. Was that completely unintentional that they two were all Americans? Well, yes, it was unintentional, but it just so happens that country is... There's that country.
Did we
mention
Hellebuck? I thought we mentioned Binnington.
We also mentioned Binnington, who's Canadian, but we did mention Hellebuck briefly. So it just so happens that country.
I mean, I shouted out Kirill Zarubin. It's Russian.
You did. I don't know if you shouted that out as a comparison.
Correct.
Yeah, the United States has produced some pretty good goal. It's the mm-hmm. it's Russia and it's the United States as your goaltending factories these days. This says, I think this is a great opportunity for the organization to show the market that they are serious as a place to play hockey and also give them the ability to show that. This reads, any bridge for Dustin doesn't make much sense. You don't need Wolf on a low cap hit now. You may as well get him on a long-term deal while the market is still in the Swayman category. You do a 4x3, and his next deal will be $11 or $12 million. And that's the other thing. Like, put that Jeremy Swayman deal in front of him immediately and say, this is what we think of you. We think you're one of the best in the world. And leave it at that. But then all of a sudden, in 2 years' time or a year's time or 3 years' time, depending on the other options the Flames could take, well, cap's going up in big chunks every year right now. So... that's why I keep saying, like, I do think there's some urgency here.
Yeah, and I don't think this texter is trying to call us out on this, but nobody is saying that a bridge makes more sense for
the
Flames, just that it might for Dustin.
This says sign him today. They can't do that. They'd have to wait until Canada Day at the very earliest. This says Wolf 6 years at $44 million. That would be, what, 7.5-ish? 6 times 7 is 42. That'd be like 7.5-ish when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Again, if there's only a way that we could, it would be 7.3.
Yeah,
I think
that's
you might
not going
to
do it.
You might have to go a little bit higher. Like, I think you'd have to be in and around 8, I think, even on a 6-year deal right now for Wolf.
If the number starts with less than an 8 in AAV... Craig Conroy has really cooked.
I agree. TJ says there are only so many superstar goalies in the league, and the Flames better lock him up. This says, given Wolf's track record, it's hard to call this past season a fluke. He looks every bit like a long-term high-level starter. Locking him up now could be a smart move, especially if he continues trending towards Vezina-level numbers. He's also in the same age range as players the Flames are clearly building around, like Coronado, who also just signed long-term. Signing players like these now helps keep your core together under a manageable cap number, giving you flexibility to add more talent and actually contend. If I'm the Flames, I'm trying to get an 8-year deal done in the 7.5 to 8.5 range now, because if they wait, that number could go even higher. Do you think Conroy should strike early and lock him in long term before the price goes even higher? Yeah, I absolutely do. And I think that there is a decent chance that that is what we're talking about sometime this summer.
It's interesting, you know, to bring into this conversation or interesting that Matt Coronato's name was mentioned, because that's another part of the argument. You know, I know someone suggested 7.3 and someone else had a number that started with 7.5. You know, if Matt Coronato is earning 6.5 and we're trying to sort of dissect their value to the team, I think that's just another reason that Dustin Wolf's will and should be in the eighth.
Brandon Lethbridge, I wouldn't necessarily say it's of high importance to get it done on July 1st. My fear is if they wait too long and he loses interest in Calgary, or if they bridge him and he walks in a few years. The overall concern or true question is Dustin Wolf. Does he want to be here long term? This says no.
Can I jump in on that one?
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about Dustin Wolf staying put. Every single conversation you have with Dustin Wolf is about how grateful he is to have the opportunity. And Dustin Wolf, as he's chased his hockey dreams, has been a bit of a nomad, right? He lived, grew up in the San Jose area, moved to Los Angeles area to chase hockey. Then his family moved to Everett when he was playing with the Silvertips. Really likes Calgary, I think, is actually still hanging around the city, or has been up till the last couple of days. And so I wouldn't be super concerned about Dustin Wolf as a flight risk. Now, I would have said that about other guys at points who ultimately left, but I don't see Dustin Wolf wanting to force his way out of town, that's for sure.
This one says, where did it go? There is a no. Here we go. No, you wait on goalies. If you rush, then it's an overpay. If you wait, you get market value with more sample size. Well, if you wait, then that market value might be you know what Dustin Wolf. Are goalies a crapshoot? Yes. Are goalies hard to project? Yes. Is Dustin Wolf about as sure thing as this organization has had in terms of a future goaltender, future long-term number one goaltender? Yeah. And I am willing, I know it's not my money, it's not my salary cap, it's not my job on the line, but I just feel like the risk of signing Wolf to a long-term deal the value, the reward far outweighs the risk. And I think that there is more risk signing him to a bridge contract than there is signing him to a long-term deal, even after one full NHL season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
You know, it's funny. Good stuff on the text line, by the way, at 960-960. It's funny because the two biggest stories for me are Dustin Wolf's long-term contract, especially with Coronato being signed. It's Wolf and it's Rasmus Anderson's future, and yet neither of those things have a hard deadline on them anytime in the near future. Like Rasmus Anderson, they don't need to make a decision on until the trade deadline, so that's like 8 months away, 9 months away. Dustin Wolf is under contract going forward. He's under contract this season. He remains under team control, so there's no urgency. And yet, those are the two things that I think if you're the Flames, you'd like to tackle as soon as humanly possible and get an answer on and have an idea as to how that's going to play itself out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and we're going to go from talking about a Flames team with oodles of cap space, roughly $1 billion at one point, to a team that's going to have to really start to stick handle around their financial situation. That doesn't mean they're strapped by any sense, but the great part about having some young talent in your organization, you know, the flip side of that is that you're going to have to pay those guys relatively soon. And so those two pieces in Anderson and Wolf, yeah, you'd love to deal with those sooner than later so you kind of know how it impacts the rest of your cap situation moving forward.
Yep. Good stuff on the text line, 960, 960. And you know what? A few more texts. This guy's a solid. He's a, such a character guy. He's also proven what he is. He's a serious Calder contender. Sign him. That comes from Troy. This says, since the Flames drafted Wolf, all he's done is be the best goalie in the league he played in every year. Until this year, where he was one of the best in the league and may have been the best rookie in the league. This says, crazy you'd give Wolf $8 million. If he wants to be here, he should take less to save room for offense, if not buy. I don't think that's the way that it goes. I think that you sign your best players to deals that are commensurate with what they are to your team.
If you've been following, the Flames are about seven offensive weapons away from outscoring their mistakes and becoming one of those teams that wants to win fire wagon hockey. And so I'd probably lean toward locking up the goalie, especially if his ask is at market value.
Yep. It's Pat and Wes. We are underway this hour on the program. Thanks for hanging out with us from Max Bell. We are here for the 2025 Centennial Cup, which is finally underway in the city. It started on this Thursday, the 2025 Centennial Cup, hosted by the Calgary Canucks here at Max Bell. And, cool to see the National Junior A Championship back in our city. Hey, can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg and Wes along with you from Max Bell on this Thursday. Lots to dive into around the NHL. And how about a 2-0 series lead for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Look, as I said on Wednesday's program, I am... It's far more difficult for me to truly dislike the Toronto Maple Leafs this year than in prior years.
Is that the Chris Tanev effect?
It's the Chris Tanev effect all day, every day. It's partially on my end, the Brad Treliving effect as well. I'm a big Tree fan. Just as a human being, I've always been a massive fan of the gentleman. So it's, you know, there's definitely some sentimentality that's attached to it with Tanev and Treliving. But, I mean, I even look at William Nylander is not soft wee willy like he used to. William Nylander is a full-on difference maker. Like, this guy has been nails in the postseason.
Metal.
He's been metal, as the kids say. And Mitch Marner is scoring huge goals in this postseason, of which the Maple Leafs have won six games so far of the 16 they would like to win. I don't know. We know what happened in game one with Stolarz, and Joe Wall got the start and looks like he's going to be the guy for the foreseeable future as Stolarz continues to battle back from that concussion. But the Maple Leafs, they look like a different Toronto Maple Leafs team than some of those groups that have been soundly disappointed in playoffs past.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And yet I would say, when you have the scar tissue that the Maple Leafs franchise has, and not just the fact that they haven't won a Stanley Cup in the number of years that they have, dating back obviously to the 60s, but just the recent scar tissue and the failure to close out series, like we've talked so much about that with this current core four, and so... What I'm getting to is that scar tissue is never very far below the surface, right? And so, you know, just earlier this week, we were critiquing our good friend Shan for celebrating that the Oilers were down 2-0 in their series with LA. Shifts back to Edmonton, obviously. Suddenly it's 2-2, and we all know how that ended.
I know
you're not, but when you have the scar tissue that the Leafs have, we're going to be having a very different conversation if they don't
If it's 2-2.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, just knowing what they've been through, and I understand the excitement in Toronto right now, and people should be excited. That team looks really damn good. And yet, just because of the past, if one little thing twists or turns, it could really rear its head again.
Nylander, 6 goals, 13 points in 8 playoff games so far.
Some of the stats
Marner,
this season.
10 points in 8 games.
Just like Mikko Rantanen now with back-to-back hat tricks. What's it been, like a cool 10 days since we were talking about how Mikko Rantanen needed to step up his game in the playoffs? What's he up to now? 15 points or something?
And I think he's got like all of them in the last 4 games.
Unbelievable.
That game 6 performance, of which the Stars didn't win, but his second period performance in game 6 against the Avalanche, obviously his third period performance in game 7, and then that second period natural hat trick in game 1 against the Winnipeg Jets. The guy is... And I think we've spent enough time praising the Maple Leafs so we can move on. And good on him, honestly. Like, yeah. Tanev has been
another fun game last night, right?
Another good game. Florida's played hard. That's been a good series so far. I'm looking forward to game 3.
What? Really quick. I know we're trying to get away from the Maple Leafs. Why couldn't Florida get a whistle to get a timeout there toward the end of the game last night?
Here. I don't know.
It was like suddenly they wind up with their second unit on the ice, and I'm sitting there thinking, what? Somebody go offside?
Yeah, like do something to get yourself a whistle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the Mikko Rantanen trade, and I get why the Avalanche did it. I get why it all ended up the way that it did. So I'm trying to think of the right word. It's not a blunder, because the Avalanche, I guess, they weren't prepared to go to the contract lengths that Rantanen was looking for, and I guess all the power to them. They trade him outside of the conference. Mm-hmm. He comes back inside the division 3 or 4 weeks later, and then he sticks it to you like he did in that series, and then follows it up with another hat trick in the first game of the next series. Like, does that go down as one of the biggest trade blunders that we've seen in recent memory? Like that, what Rantanen just did to the Avalanche in Game 7, and what he continues to do with an arch rival in Dallas, who look fully the part as a Stanley Cup, full-on Stanley Cup favorite right now.
Especially if they get Heiskanen back.
Which they will. Like, Heiskanen will come back at some point, it sounds like.
Right.
How bad does that trade look, even though I honestly don't even blame the Avalanche that much for what they were thinking?
Yeah, I think the blunder from my standpoint is probably more just the amount of changeover that the Avalanche tried to make during this season. Like, just the sheer number. I joked oftentimes on and off the air that it was like they were playing fantasy hockey. Oh, you want to make 3 trades this week? Yeah, sure. Like, it was literally fantasy football, fantasy hockey. Like, yeah, I could trade half my roster. And so I wonder if the bigger blunder was maybe that. But you'd love to be a fly on the wall, wouldn't you, to sort of have a better understanding of what those contract conversations were. And I think Mikko Rantanen's side certainly wanted him to be paid like a guy who was as big of a driver of that team as MacKinnon and Makar are. And I think the Avalanche maybe put their money on, well, we think he's, don't get us wrong, we think he's talented, but we think he might be riding the coattails just a little bit of the other guy. And that might have been the blunder. And I'm not sure that was wrong. If you'd asked me in December or January or February, do you think Mikko Rantanen can be the superstar on a team, I would have said, probably, but I don't know if I would say he could be the superstar on a Stanley Cup winning team. And yet...
they might win the Stanley Cup.
They look good, man. They look really good.
Yep. This says... Rantanen is proof if a guy can help you win now, trading him for the future doesn't make sense.
And, like, we we believe that's just that they didn't think they could have three guys with salaries starting, like, with eight-digit salaries, right? Is that what this boiled down to? You know, we're going to pay McKinnon and McCarr into the 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 range, but we can't do it with three guys. Is that... Sure felt that way to me.
It kind of felt like that's where the Avalanche were coming from,
yeah.
For sure. This says the Rantanen trade had the most profound unintended consequences in NHL history. Yeah, the Avalanche weren't expecting it. When they made that deal with Carolina, do you think they had any foresight that what was going to happen in games, like any thought in the world that that might happen?
Could you imagine having the Avalanche staff mic'd up when Dallas went and got Rantanen right before the deadline?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you imagine how good Game 7 must have felt if your name was Jim Nill?
Do you think they're, you know... What NHL general managers love more than anything now is to just put all sorts of conditions in trades. Do you think there will be conditions in the future? Like, yeah, but you cannot trade him back to the Central Division.
Yep. Bill in Calgary says, do we know for sure that Rantanen actually wanted to stay in Colorado? A deep Dallas playoff run will definitely pay his salary for the next couple of years. I think he wanted to stay. He was pretty crushed when he got moved.
I loved the way he handled that post-game interview after Game 7 when asked about the handshake line and essentially said, yeah, it was emotional because those are some of my best friends over there.
Yep.
I think so highly of Denver as a city and what the Avalanche have there. I don't think there's a lot of guys trying to leave, period.
No, although we're now moving into a spot where, you know, Cale Makar's not that far off from needing his next deal. So now we're into a spot where it's like, okay.
The text line's going to overheat if you're not careful.
Has Colorado done enough in their stretch of having their guys on good contracts? Like, it's the same conversation that we're going to be having in a year or two with McDavid and Draisaitl and the Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
Did Edmonton do enough when they have their guys at lower salaries? Did the Avalanche do enough?
Yeah.
They traded away Rantanen. Makar is going to be like 15 mil.
Mm-hmm.
McKinnon's already at 12.6. Did they do enough with that core? I mean, here they've won. And look, you win one Stanley Cup, banners fly forever, all that type of stuff. But that roster... And what you think of them and who they have in that market, like, you should be expecting multiple Stanley Cups.
Sure.
over that stretch of time.
Yeah, and I think when you look back, you know, if you're Cale Makar and you're getting towards the end of your deal, I guess what you're analyzing is, well, what will have been the shortcoming over that stretch? Is it the fact that you had to take several swings on finding the goaltender who could be the backbone of a championship caliber team? You know, is there frustration about, well, we had another superstar in Rantanen, and why didn't we keep him? Like, the one thing I don't think you can say about the Avalanche right now is that they're not sort of, there's no complacency there. If anything, they're guilty of the other side of it, where they're probably shuffling the deck too often. And so I guess when you look back and say, well, yeah, that probably, with that core, it should have been a dynasty. But what stopped them from that? Was it whining? Was it just being in the same division as the Dallas Stars? Do we look in 2 years and say, well, you know, this has been a juggernaut in the making? Why didn't the Calgary Flames, with all the talent that they had in the 80s, win more than one Stanley Cup? Well, had a little bit to do with the road you had to go through in the playoffs, right? And so it's going to be a fascinating conversation. I just don't know where you place the blame.
We start to wrap things up this hour on Flames Talk. Patton West along with you from Max Bell and the 2025 Centennial Cup, which is underway on this Thursday, hosted by the 2025 AJHL champion Calgary Canucks. It's the best Junior A teams in the country, all here in Calgary at Max Bell. And you can purchase your tickets right now at HockeyCanada.ca. So head on over to HockeyCanada.ca, go through and get yourself to the Centennial Cup side of it. You can get tickets there. You can get tickets on the door. Or the link is not on the door. You can get tickets at the door here at Max Bell, or go onto our website, sportsnet.ca/960, and the events page. It's the 2025 Centennial Cup.